Well, we have many, many riches to mine here in today's scriptures, how blessed we are. In many ways, there's some continuity between what we see today and what we had on the Mount of Beatitudes. I just kind of noticed some of the connections more intensely as the readings are being proclaimed. Let's start with Paul here, though. So, and Paul is one of those, it's a continuation of a segment. I think we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 on the Beatitudes when he was talking about, you know, it's the fools that you know, bring down the high ones and whatnot. And now we're into chapter 2 of Corinthians, and you can see the same kind of themes. He's talking about true wisdom. True wisdom. We speak of wisdom to those who are mature, not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. We speak of God's wisdom. Mysterious, Paul says. Mysterious. It's not always super tangible. You know, something that we can post up on the wall or something that we can wrap our minds completely around. It's mysterious. Which some people think mysterious means like it's way out there, there's no way, it's a mystery, there's no way we can ever access it. That's not the Christian understanding of a mystery. It's something that is continually unfolded, more and more layers. We can never completely understand it, but the Lord continues to give us more and more of it as we grow closer and closer to Him. Our hearts are open more and more to receive more from Him. That's what Paul's talking about. This wisdom from God, mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory. And which none of the rulers in Paul's age knew, none of the rulers in our, well, most of the rulers in our age don't know either. Because if they had known it, then they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory, right? And we wouldn't continue nailing Him to the cross today. We'd be rejoicing in Him. We wouldn't fall back into our sins. But we do. Our leaders do, and so do we. You know, it's not like we're immune from it. What eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, and what has not even entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love Him. But the Lord has revealed that to us, this mysterious wisdom Paul's referring back to, through the Holy Spirit. That's beautiful. That's profound. The Spirit's giving us all of this right now, if we only just say yes. If we only just open up. But oftentimes we do get caught up in the wisdom of this world, thinking that we know better, want to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps, right? A strong American independence, where we want to do things on our own. We don't want to depend on somebody. But Christianity is completely the opposite of that. We're supposed to radically depend on the Lord. It doesn't mean like we're passive puppets, but we radically depend on Him, and through Him, that's where this mysterious hidden wisdom takes on more and more meaning, more and more layers. And we're filled more and more with His peace as we walk in the glorious freedom of the children of God. That's what Paul wants for us. But now if we look at the first reading and then we look at what Jesus has going on here, it's addressing the fact that we oftentimes slide back into that wisdom of the world. And even if inadvertently, we favor that over the wisdom of God. And so Jesus, this is still the Sermon on the Mount. Remember we had the Beatitudes, chapter 5, 1 through 12. Well, here's chapter 5, 17 to 37. So there's a little piece in between. But this is the another famous part of the Sermon on the Mount where He reinterprets the Word of God. This would have been totally shocking to the Jews. We've heard it so many times, but basically what He's saying, this is in the Torah. This is what you, and this is what you reverence higher than everything else. But this is what I say. Wait a minute. Nobody can do that. Only God can change the Word of God, right? Well, that's what He's doing here. But He's not abolishing it. As He's saying, no, He's taking it to fulfillment. So for those of us that live our lives and think, oh, you know, Jesus came up with this stuff long ago, but that's archaic. That's old medieval, you know, stuff, or even farther. We know better now, right? We're civilized. They were barbarians back then. We're civilized now, so we can kind of fudge a little bit here and there, right? And we can just kind of, Jesus, for those of you that aren't from Montana, I often talk about Jesus the big teddy bear. Some people think, you know, like, I'm talking like State Fair teddy bear, you know, that huge one that you win if you're throwing up balls. But is Jesus just a big teddy bear, you know, and we just give Him a big hug anytime things get difficult, and He's just a big softy? That's what a lot of people are thinking in the back of their minds. They're not thinking State Fair teddy bear. I'm exaggerating a little bit here. But that's not who Jesus is. We don't just get to do whatever we want and then magically we go to heaven. We have to do more than just die to get to heaven. There's a lot of people, a lot of Catholics nowadays that live their lives as if, well, Jesus is I can just do whatever I want. He's merciful. He's going to forgive me. That's a sin of presumption, which is a terrible sin. I'm going a little bit sideways here, so let's get back on point. He's not a big teddy bear, but he's not a harsh executioner either. He's the Lord. He's full of mercy. But clearly, as we see here, he's raising the bar over the law. You heard that it was said, but I say, in each one of these cases, he raises the bar, right? He doesn't say, okay, we're going to let you off. Okay, you struggle. We're going to let you get away with this. He calls us higher. He's always calling us higher. Just like, oh, this wisdom of God, mysterious, hidden, is calling us higher than worldly wisdom. It builds on that foundation. Grace builds on nature. I'm sure you've heard that before. Well, that's exactly what Jesus is doing here today. And we don't need to get too much into these individual teachings, I don't think, today. But he's clearly raising the bar. And, you know, when he's talking about the adultery and you shouldn't even look at a woman in the wrong way. And that goes for women looking at men. But he's saying, you know, if your arm causes you to sin, cut it off. He doesn't say, oh, just kind of smooth it over and, you know, don't worry too much about it. No, I mean, listen to the language he's using. If your eye causes you to sin, rip it out. He doesn't mean this literally. He's speaking with some hyperbole, but what he's saying is sin is not okay. Sin is not okay. And we have to take that seriously. Jesus takes it seriously. But remember, he's always the God of mercy. He's not the harsh, condemning God, but the sin has to come to the light so that he can deal with it. And so we have to be always cognizant of that. And we live in a world that oftentimes radically says the opposite. Oh, come on, don't be a prude. Don't be just have a little bit of fun, right? You can go to confession anyway, right? If it gets too bad, just go to confession next weekend or something. People say this. People live this way. But that's not the way that we're meant to live at all. When Jesus is talking about right at the beginning, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of the letter will pass from the law until all things have been taken place. So this is him saying, not even the little tiniest piece. And whoever breaks one of these least of the commandments and teaches others to do so, not good, not good. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's what we're called to do, brothers and sisters. Keep them and help other people to keep them and see not only how necessary they are, like you must do this because you are a Catholic, but how beautiful and wonderful it is to live this way, to live radically in love with the Lord and his commandments. And we'll just take a quick look at the first reading and the responsorial, singing the praises of this, the beautiful goodness of the Lord's commandments. The very first line here from Sirach, if, that's the first word here, if you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. They will save you. They're not just letters on a wall or on a tablet that Moses brought down from the mountain. They will save you. They actually do something. They will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live. He's given you these choices. Fire, water, the good, life and the death, good and evil. We can choose. God gives us free will. Immense is the wisdom of the Lord, this mysterious, hidden wisdom. He is mighty in power and all-seeing. We, believe it or not, are not mighty in power and all-seeing. God, of course, understands every man's deed. This last line here is important for us to keep in mind. No one does he, speaking about God here, no one does he command to act unjustly. To none does he give license to sin. So again, we have to take sin seriously. But again, it doesn't mean that we like hide down like we're terrified of the Lord. No, he gives us everything we possibly need. Even when we do sin, he redeems us. Jesus went to the cross. We just have to claim this victory. Allow it to shine forth within and around us. And as we heard so beautifully proclaimed in the responsorial, blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Psalm 119 famously proclaims the goodness of keeping the Lord's commandments. And so, brothers and sisters, let us be ever more attentive to what the Lord is teaching us in and through his commandments. not just looking at them as words on a tablet or kind of things of the past, but things right now. They're meant to bear great fruit with us even right now. And we hear this so beautifully in the opening prayer of the collect today. Listen to what the collect says. We'll just revisit it briefly. O God, who teach us that you abide in hearts that are just and true. Not hearts that are indifferent and wicked. Hearts that are just and true. Grant that we may be so fashioned by your grace. Welcoming as grace. Redemption. Strengthening us. Even when we fall. Die to ourselves. Rise to new life. Grant that we may be so fashioned by your grace as to become a dwelling pleasing to you. As to become a dwelling pleasing to you, Lord. Not a dwelling pleasing to me, whatever my wants are, but your will, Lord, be done. And just a kind of a link to Stella Maris, Our Lady Star of the Sea, which that's what this monastery is named for. The sea is right there, or maybe it's right there. Whatever, it's up. The Mediterranean is there. I don't know which direction, but she lives this out, right? If we even just look at the collect, of course the commandments and the precepts, but certainly a heart that was and is just and true. Mary never deviated from the Lord at all, and she was fashioned by his grace from the moment of the Immaculate Conception all the way even until now. Fashioned by his grace and truly a dwelling pleasing to him. And she is our mother. And she wants nothing more than for us to be that dwelling pleasing to him, always pointing us to her son. Always there to nurture us, to guide us. When we fall down in stubbornness, when we do something stupid, when we sin, there she is, patiently, lovingly, tenderly, seeking to guide us back, calling us by our name, telling us it's past dinner time, right? It's dark outside. It's time to come home. It's time to leave those shadows behind, to walk in this beautiful light. That's the star of our sea. She's the star of our hearts. So let us seek, like St. Simon Stock, like all the Carmelites, like hopefully all Christians, certainly us Catholics, to welcome her ever more intensely into our hearts to guide us to her Son, our Savior, so that we truly can live these out. We can love his commandments, rejoice in his commandments, allow them to challenge us, to nourish us, and then we can go out and help the world to understand that they're not archaic, they're not to be forgotten, they're not worthless, they're very worthwhile. And then we can appreciate this mysterious hidden wisdom of God and allow it to reverberate within every fiber of our being and within our communities and our world. That's what we're meant to do, brothers and sisters. So let us be not afraid to allow the Lord and our Blessed Mother leading us to him, to guide us, to strengthen us, to get the job done.